Welcome to Locked On Yankees. I'm Jesse Spector, the editor of LockedOnYankees.com, a lifelong New Yorker and a former Daily News and Sporting News guy, now found in a variety of other places as a freelancer, including here. It'll be fun. Let's have some fun. Unlike the Yankees, who had no fun on Tuesday night, as they got just hammered 9-1 by the Marlins. Yeah, that's baseball. You don't see this in, say, basketball. You know, the Warriors don't come to Madison Square Garden, or really the Warriors don't play the Knicks at home in Oakland and lose by 40 points, which is basically what the Yankees went out and did tonight against the Marlins. A night after beating the Marlins 12-1, you thought that maybe the Yankees had gotten their act together after the postponements in Detroit, you know, refreshed, gotten a few days, and not so much. they couldn't get a hit until the fifth inning against Harleen Garcia. By that time, it was already 7-0. Masahiro Tanaka just got lit up. Gave up three runs before he even got an out. And, you know, Tanaka at this point now, kind of looking like the guy that he was for the bulk of last year, which is a guy who can be great, but sometimes just gets hammered. He's now 2-2 with a 6.45 ERA, and I don't know if that's just what Tanaka is, if he's a slow starter, if there's something going on with him physically, because this is, it's something. I don't know. It's still April, so, you know, we'll get into that, get into the pitching a little bit later. We'll also talk about the continued booing of Giancarlo Stanton, which remains a thing. But I do want to talk about where the Yankees are at right now, which is 8-8. And yeah, it's not what I think anybody really expected, but at the same time, the Yankees have been playing some, for the most part, you know, you take out the games where they've really looked like they're themselves, and, you know, they kicked the snot out of Miami on Monday night. They beat up on Tampa Bay in a game, you know, in the home opener. A couple other games where they've really looked like they had it together. But for the most part, they've been playing some pretty lousy baseball. And they're 8-8. You know, if 8-8 is what you are, and I know they haven't played great teams either, and they're about to play a real tough stretch of teams. But if 8-8 is what you are when you're playing some of your worst ball of the year, you're not in the worst shape. And I want to go back because, you know, take a look back through time, and teams go through this, and it just gets magnified a lot more when it's the start of the year and you're looking at 8-8 is your record, or you're looking at Giancarlo Stanton with a 197 batting average. Gary Sanchez, who's, you know, come along, he's raised his average to 190. Tanaka's sitting on a 6.45 ERA. So it's all stuff that happens. But the 1998 Yankees were 8-8 from August 18th to September 2nd. Followed that up by going 7-9 from September 4th to the 19th. Now, that's a solid month of below 500 baseball from the greatest team that we've ever seen. And I know they all, the Yankees at that point in 98 already had things pretty much well in hand, but they were also chasing history and trying to be a team that set a record for wins. And they wound up, you know, winning 114. The Mariners came along 3 years later, won 116, so whatever. What have you. And, you know, the Yankees did wind up winning the World Series, which the 2001 Mariners did not, and that, you know, gets the Yankees their props as, you know, in the argument about greatest team of all time. Those 98 Yankees played under 500 baseball for a month. 2009, last Yankees team to win a World Series. They were 6-10 from April 20-something. I had it written down, but I only have the two, to May 12th. And they were also 6-10 from June 6th to the 23rd. And then last year, the Yankees were 4-12 from June 13th to 29th, and 7-9 from July 30th to August 15th. You remember that right after the trade deadline? I mean, the trade deadline last year, you know, it's after July 30th, but it's a couple of days. But after the trade deadline, the Yankees played pretty badly. And it looked like, you know, what did they do here? Did they do enough to upgrade this team? Did it feel, and, you know, wound up going to Game 7 of the ALCS. Worked out all right for them. So even really good teams and really good Yankees teams go through stretches like this. We just haven't seen it so much right at the beginning of a year, and that's what we're seeing right now. And yeah, the schedule is about to get tougher for the Yankees, and that's something that they're going to have to deal with. But you got four games with the Blue Jays coming up after an off day. I think that, you know, when you're in this kind of situation, and I think it's fair to call it a slump, even though, you know, 8-8 is .500 ball, I think it's fair to say this Yankee team has slumped. You know, you look at those off days as a chance to rejuvenate a little bit and sort of mentally refresh, and I know that they can certainly use that in the Bronx right now. And they're about to play a stretch of 18 games in a row, so, you know, rest up on that off day because they're going to need it. There's going to be a lot of baseball ahead, and you know, that's where the Yankees are at right now. They're 16 games in. They're not where they want to be. The Red Sox have made things look all the worse by, you know, running out to a tremendous record to start the season, but the Red Sox are going to have their struggles too, and they're going to have to come to a time where they have to make adjustments, and they have to question themselves, and they have to wonder, you know, are we ever going to get things right again? And the Yankees are dealing with some adversity early, and I don't think that's the worst thing for them under a new manager, is to, they will be stronger as a result of this, and they will play good baseball. And, you know, that's, you just have to wait for when it happens and hope that by the time that it happens, if you're a Yankee fan, that it's not too late to chase that division title. They still have enough games left with the Red Sox. You know, they've only played three. That next series with the Red Sox when they come to the Yankee Stadium, yeah, that's going to be a big one. And it's going to be looked at that way, and that'll be right, because that's going to be an opportunity for the Red Sox to kind of really put their stamp on the division. And I think that now you also kind of have to think about the Blue Jays, too. Sweeping a doubleheader, I know, from Kansas City on Tuesday. Could they be something? There's always a team out there. Last year it was Minnesota that got out and started doing business, and you know, maybe the Blue Jays are that team this year. I don't know. I think it's too early to say about them too, but you know, with their start, they've certainly given themselves a chance to get into the mix in a way that the Orioles and Rays in this division certainly are not, and that the Orioles and Rays are teams that the Blue Jays are going to play against a lot, and they're going to see a lot. So we'll see what happens. And before we go on, I should tell you that if you'd like to advertise on Locked On Yankees, you can do so. You should just send an email to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. That is lockedonnyy@gmail.com. So I started by ranting a little bit about Masahiro Tanaka and, you know, questioning exactly where we believe he is right now. You know, he's had four starts. He's had two pretty good ones. His first start in Toronto and his second start against Baltimore, and he's followed that up with two where he went five innings and gave up six earned runs at Boston and home against Miami. At Boston, you can kind of write off and say, you know, that's Fenway. Red Sox are a hot team. To get shellacked by the Marlins is something different. The big blow, of course, the three-run homer by JT Realmuto. I don't know. There's nothing about Tanaka in terms of, you know, the way that his pitches are working or anything like that. You know, there's nothing that leads you to believe that there's fundamentally something wrong with the guy. There's no warning signs that way. He's issued four walks in 22 innings, 22 and a third, which is, you know, more than you would generally expect from him, I think. but still not bad. You know, no walks his first two starts, and then two walks in each of the last two. Not getting as many ground balls, which is certainly a problem for a guy who's had issues with the home run ball. And he's given up five now in four starts after giving up 35 a year ago. Are there adjustments to be made? Maybe. We'll just really have to wait and see, because that's where it's at. You're four starts in with a guy who decided not to opt out, and you know, that was a good decision given the way the free agent market shaped up. But you know, it's something right now where the Yankees, really their only dependable starter is Luis Severino. I don't think that you can put Tanaka in that category right now. You can't put Sonny Gray in that category right now. You can't put CeCe Sabathia in that category right now. He's hurt anyway. He'll be back soon enough, but he's hurt. And you can't put Jordan Montgomery in that. Severino's the... And that's where this rotation is. And I think the Yankees were making a smart decision by looking to make Luis Sessa more of a reliever. And, you know, they were going to have Sessa go some length in that game against the Marlins, which, you know, I really like Sessa as a first-time through-the-order guy. The numbers for him, hitters, the first time seeing him, really struggle. I like him as a shorter reliever, a situational guy. I know the Yankees are loaded for that, but I think that that is where a Luis Sessa can really thrive. We're not going to see that for a while either, because Luis Sessa is the latest guy to go on the disabled list. Strained oblique, had to leave the game. It's just unbelievable where the Yankees are right now. The only guys on the 40-man roster, the only pitchers on the 40-man roster right now who could be called up and added to the Yankees are Jonathan Loaisiga or Jonathan Holder. And it's going to be Holder because he's the guy who's at AAA. So there's not a lot of mystery there unless there's a guy who's not on the 40-man roster who gets called up, and then maybe they put, I don't know, maybe put Jacoby Ellsbury on the 60-day DL. I think it's going to be Holder. He's been up with the team already, you know, made the team out of spring training. Certainly, you know, giving him another look, especially since he's probably going to be going into that sort of mop-up kind of spot. And it's not a move they have to make until Thursday before the game, so we'll see what they do. I would not be surprised to see Jonathan Holder. Maybe Ollie Perez, you know. Maybe you do put a guy on the 60-day and make it Ollie Perez. We'll see. We'll see what they do. But it's a real tough thing for Sessa because he had been pitching pretty well, and he wound up in this game getting charged with two runs on three hits in two-plus innings. But the two innings that he pitched before he couldn't get anybody out in the eighth, you know, pitched to three batters in the eighth, gave up, you know, let them all on base. But he pitched two really good innings, and I think that's really the maximum that you should expect from Sessa. We'll see, you know, because Chad Green, kind of similar thing. They came over in the same deal. Chad Green, they had thought of as a starter and, you know, wound up transitioning to the bullpen. I've talked about Sessa a little bit in this way, and I think that he can be a sort of similar thing, and we'll see what happens when he gets back from the injury. It's really too bad, because he's pitched well in the opportunities that he's had with the Yankees, and, you know, you hate to see guys get hurt, and guys have been getting hurt left and right for this Yankees team. It's too bad, and that's part of their struggle of the early part of this season. If you are struggling, how about that segue? Oh, I'm laughing at my own stuff. It's late, and I watched the Yankees play some bad baseball. If you are struggling to find Locked On Yankees on your podcast subscription service of choice, let us know at lockedonnyy@gmail.com or tweet to @LockedOnYankees. We want to be everywhere, and you know we are on iTunes, and we are on Stitcher and Spotify and Podbean and, you know, pretty much where you can find podcasts, you can find Locked On Yankees. But if you can't, do let us know. And do subscribe and rate and review wherever you do your podcast subscriptions. It really helps us out. So, thank you. All right. The last thing today, and I've touched on this before, but it's gotten worse. The booing of Giancarlo Stanton. Like, come on. he's not hitting at home, and I get that. And it's not as awful on a night when the Yankees are getting hammered that you take out your frustrations on some of the stars, but you know what happened on Monday? And Larry Fleischer talked about this on the show yesterday, so I don't want to go too deep into it. It's just, it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. The booing of Stanton for popping up in a game when the Yankees were up by, you know, 9 runs at the time. Just bonkers. And, you know, right now he's not the only one who's not getting it done in spots. And the Yankees did have their chances. As much as they got hammered by the Marlins in that game, you know, 9-1, they had their chances. They got down 7-0. They come back and they load the bases with one out. Neil Walker strikes out. He's done pretty much nothing as a Yankee so far. And, you know, it's not the Neil Walker that you expect to see or that the Yankees thought that they were getting. He's not done as a ball player. Like, he had a good season last year for the Mets and the Brewers. He's going to hit. That's what he does. You know, there's an adjustment period, but, you know, and then Tyler Austin strikes out too at the bases loaded end that inning. When the Yankees are going good, you know, I'm not saying they score 7 runs that inning and tie it, but they're down 7-0. They got the bases loaded. That's where you need to get at least like 2 runs home and make it happen. You know, start chipping away. Because it's not like that Marlins bullpen is untouchable. Yankees made them look untouchable. That's for sure. But, you know, it's just ridiculous that Stanton is getting this kind of treatment. And I know that he's hitting under 200 now, and he's hit on the road, and he's hitting under 100 at home. So, yeah, it's been real bad for him at home. But does anybody think that that's making it better? Like, I just don't get that mentality. Like, if you're a Yankee fan, it's clear that this guy's struggling at home, and you've been booing him since opening day. Like, maybe try a different tack. And at some point, you're going to get into, like, A-Rod was one thing, because A-Rod was, like, reviled throughout baseball after he left the Mariners to sign that deal with the Rangers. And, you know, it was the biggest deal in baseball history, $252 million over 10 years. And then he engineers a trade to get out of there after 3 years in last place. Doesn't go to the Red Sox, winds up going to the Yankees. And yeah, so like he came in already kind of not loved. Who didn't like Stanton coming out of Miami? Like, he signed the big contract there with the thought that they were going to try to build around him and contend. And then they didn't, and the team gets sold. And the new owners, who have somehow managed to make Jeffrey Loria look good, wind up alienating him further and try to, like, put pressure him into staying. And he's like, no. You know, and I see what you're doing here. You're going to tear this thing down again. I don't want to be here. And that's his right. And he had every right to not only want out, but to be able to dictate where he was going, because he had the no-trade clause. Everything he did was fine. And he comes to New York, and he's buddying it up with Aaron Judge, and strikes out 5 times in the home opener, gets booed. And it's only snowballed from there. And it's gotten stupid. And it is stupid because you're also looking at a Yankees team that has the opportunity to spend money in free agency this winter. And I know that, you know, ultimately what makes the decision on free agency is money. But if you're a big-time free agent, if you're, I don't know, Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, and you get equal offers from the Yankees and the Dodgers, doesn't it factor into your mind a little bit, you know, how the fans in New York have treated Giancarlo Stanton? Doesn't that at least creep into your mind a little bit? Of just what the standard is there, and that if you go through any kind of struggle whatsoever, you're going to hear it. And Stanton's bigger than this. Like, he's saying all the right things right now, but it's not making things any better for him that he gets booed for just doing things. Like, he's going to fail. Like, at his best, he's going to fail 70% of the time, and he's not a 300 hitter. Like, it's bonkers. It really is that he's, you know, continuing to get booed the way that he is. And it's just, it's not a good look. It's not a good look for anybody. And it needs to stop. So that is it for this edition of Locked On Yankees. Thank you for listening. And again, continue to subscribe, rate, review. Follow Locked On Yankees on Twitter. And yeah, that's it for today. We'll see you next time.